Now comes your advantages and disadvantages of diversity management. So what are the advantages? Let's start with the advantages. So when you talk about advantages of managing diversity well, we have an increased level of productivity. So improving and increasing employee productivity has been time and again and very, very one of the biggest challenge for any of the organizations. Okay, everybody strive towards improving productivity. But it says that over a period of time when the diversity has been managed well, there has been an increase in the overall productivity in the organization. Enhanced creativity and quality of team problem solving. Because of the fact that they work in cohesive team, they work in collaborative team, the team problem solving abilities have improved to a quite extent, and it has become very, very creative because everybody brings a diverse perspective to the team. So team with diverse backgrounds have different perspectives. They lead a discussion to bring in their most creative ideas and solutions, and they take the most appropriate, so they do requisite brainstormings and finally come to a conclusion which is completely mutually concluded by the team, and they do a common team problem solving. So they get into a team problem solving. So hence it comes across very, very creative as well. So these are some of the advantages that we have been seeing, which are on the rise because of the diversity management. Learning and growth. With diverse workforce now, when we have different kinds of backgrounds of people working together, opportunity as it is, it lies for the employees to have their own personal growth, to be able to do a lot of peer learning. A peer from south can teach you a lot of things which are to a person who is in the north. A person who is in the Americas can teach a lot of things to the one who's in the down Sri Lanka. Okay, so when you have diverse population and workforce working together, there is a lot of peer learning which happens. Managing diversity positively offers new cultures and ideas and perspectives for people to learn and adapt. Effective customer communication. It definitely has improved to quite an extent. Diverse workforce again helps strengthening the company's communication with some specific customer groups, because some customer groups might require to be understood or to be communicated in a particular form of language, in a particular form of communication, which can be communicated well, probably locally better. So then having a diverse population enhances that, right? So local language local communication may just help bridge the gap of communication between the company and the stakeholders. Diverse experiences, again, a diverse culture possess its own strengths and weaknesses along with their individuality. Every diverse employee has unique strengths and weaknesses derived from their own culture. So they will all bring in their own perspective. We have been speaking about this. So each one of them is unique, and they will have their own strengths and weaknesses, which are being, which they have imbibed it from the cultures that they have seen from their childhood. Okay, so hence a diverse culture will have their own strengths and weaknesses, and we need to celebrate each other's uniqueness. Yeah, and increased understanding of the marketplace by virtue of having the knowledge of different marketplaces, the customer base becomes more and more diverse. Okay, so you know the customers are, you have customers from across the world, and you are and you have people from across the nations working in this particular organization. A diverse workforce is better be able to anticipate and respond to ever-changing diverse customer requirements. So every marketplace would have a different requirement, isn't it? Or customer preference, isn't it? So let's take a basic example of, say, a particular outfit, a particular design of, let's say, women fashion. So if in some countries, because of the weather, because of the religion, because of certain other factors, there is a preference of a particular, it's like, for example, if it's a coastal country, country and very, very hot and humid, you will have a lot of cotton fabrics in place, and you'll have more of sleeveless or short sleeves, you know, fashion which sells more there, compared to a country which is very, very cold and the religious practices are there that they do not wear short sleeves and sleeveless. So there you will find more and more collection which are more of, you know, full sleeves and things like that. So a marketplace locally would be always a diverse workforce will always understand the marketplace better and be able to cater to the requirements of the customer based on that, the cultural requirement of that particular region, right? Few more advantages. It enhances the breadth of understanding in leadership positions. This is very, very obvious. Heterogeneous top management teams tend to be far-sighted in their perspective. So it does not have to be homogeneous when it comes to leadership mindsets. In leadership mindset, when you have different opinions by different leaders, it always brings in a better and far-sighted perspectives. Okay, so everybody brings in contrast ideas and contrast perspectives, and it becomes much better when they take a cohesive decision making. Reduced cost associated with high turnover, absenteeism, and legal hassles. So these are obviously correlated to be lesser when you have a diverse workplace. So in many cases, women or aged employees, family responsibilities or health issues may lead to turnover and absenteeisms. So if you definitely bridge the gap here, you will have less of these. So hence the cost of hiring, rehiring, your absenteeism, legal hassles, and all of this completely goes down. Now, we have spoken about the advantages. Now, what are the disadvantages? Some of the disadvantages here are that they're addition to the total cost, they're adding up to the cost. So say, for example, diversity training is not something that we used to do regularly earlier. Okay, so it's a new thing that has come, and it has been mandated also. Mostly it has been mandated. Okay, so child care facilities, elder care benefits, flexible work arrangements and work hours, and many other such practices tend to actually add to the overall cost of the organization. These costs may be sometimes a direct cost. For example, participation fees, traveling cost, some indirect cost, maybe opportunity cost of the manager managing flexible work timings for employees. So this would be your indirect cost. So there are different costs. So basically, one of the biggest disadvantages here is that there is a lot of cost build up to the overall organization. There are some hidden discrimination, by the way. No matter how inclusive you become, no matter how diverse your workforce becomes, you know, one aspect which is there is that, you know, managing it effectively is very, very difficult. It's very challenging. In a poorly managed diverse workforce, no matter how diverse it was, if you're not managing it well, a hidden workforce discrimination may exist, okay, which may not be said in open, which may not be spelled out, but there will be some intrinsically, it will be built somewhere or the other, and which will be felt through the culture by the different employees in the organization or by external stakeholders. This can affect the discriminated employees' ability to perform and might also affect the perception of equity and lead into litigation, which is what I said. It can actually lead into legal. So if at all it is hidden and somebody has pinpointed that and then gone ahead and put a case against it and things like that, can actually bring in a lot of negative in a negative light in the external environment. So hence, and it can also lead into some litigation issues as well. So hence, the hidden discrimination, if at all it's any, it needs to be identified and completely ruled out. Few more disadvantages are communication issues in the short term. Okay, And here it is, when you talk about communication issues, in case of short-term project teams where immediate synergy and cohesion is critical, diversity may just interfere with communication building. Because if it's a very, very short-term project team, say a project team gathers for 3 months and this project team, a team of 5 people are responsible to carry out the project and manage it end-to-end. And suddenly diverse people comes across and which they have not bonded earlier and they have not worked together, immediate synergy and cohesion may not happen. Okay, because a lot of time may go there because it's the objective is only 3 months and at the end in mind is very clear that in 3 months you have to finish the project. In that period, do I bond with people? Do I spend time or do I actually focus on the project? So hence, sometimes diversity may interfere in communication building. Meeting all demands can be cumbersome. We cannot, as there is a saying, there is a story also that we have heard from the childhood that we cannot please everybody in the world, right? So sometimes the degree of diversity may be highly excessive and overwhelming, and some organizations tend to feel a need to have dedicated resources or department to handle diversity itself. Okay, and to be able to meet the diversity needs. So hence, the organizations will go because they will feel that the there's not enough bandwidth by the requisite HR or the CSR or the some folks which are shouldering this particular initiative. So then what they will do is they will specifically go ahead and look for a dedicated resource for this. So then it might become too cumbersome as well. Then incorporation issues at informal levels. Okay, so diversity may not be able to influence the social incorporation at the workplace and social groups on the, sometimes what happens is that there are some social groups that you get associated with. Okay, so being in the organization, one of my clients that I was working with, by virtue of working with them, there was an option of associating just because I was catering, they were my client and they were working closely with the one of the NGOs, okay, and where they raised the girl children. So they gave an opportunity to everyone to be able to participate in that whole process project. So I got a chance to be part of it, and hence I got associated with the so it could be formally, it could be informally. So it most of it is that it says incorporation issues at informal levels is something that becomes a disadvantage because it might take away your bandwidth hours or something like that, so which can pose a negative a disadvantage. Some of the initiatives and programs for managing the diversity: changing structures and policies, focusing on diversity hiring, which we have been mentioning in the beginning itself, that focusing on the number of employed, the number of diverse hiring, establishing mentor relationships from the beginning, from the day one, there's a mentor associated for the new joiner. So you are giving that, the mentor is basically bridging the gap between the new joiner and the organization. Offering training and education, multicultural teams. So this basically is a, can you see this? It's a complete multicultural team. How do we go about understanding and deep diving this? So traditionally, most organizational policies were actually devised in a manner that typically meets the stereotypical male employees. Okay, traditionally, if you look at it, if you look at Indian Army, if you look at, you must have seen a lot of movies which are made also in that. Okay, if you look at factories, we did not have so many technology companies earlier, right? I'm talking about 50, 100 years back. At that time, traditionally, the organizations were made typically as per the needs of the stereotypical males, because it was only males who were putting together the design, the infrastructure, the project teams were predominantly, and if there were women also, there were women, women were very, very in the, closely guarded jobs, maybe in finance or maybe in the reception, maybe managing office and things like that, more on a white collar jobs. Okay, so in these kind of, so hence it was traditionally, the policies were devised you know, where male stereotypes were taken care of. Organizations like Procter & Gamble, E&Y, are linking employee incentives and growth to their ability to manage and grow diversity. They're linking that, imagine they're linking, you know, their incentives with the growth, with the ability to be able to manage and grow the diversity. So there is a, I don't know exact what, you know, percentage and all of that they're talking about, but over and above your variable pay and all of that, they're also looking at your contribution towards growing diversity in the workplace. So that's also one of the incentives that they have linked it with. Establishing, as I mentioned, the mentor always tries and, you know, bridge the gap between the new joiner and the organization. So mentor relationship is one of the best ways to overcome glass ceiling, which acts against growth of diverse group members. So mentors always bridge the gap here. And organization must drive strong mentor relationships. And I've seen most organizations which have this, you know, process of having a mentor relationships are have got very, very less of attrition, in the, especially in the first year. Because what happens, you can see that a lot of mismatch of values and all of that happens at the new joiner stage itself. So in the onboarding stage itself only, you can see a lot of turnover, and which does not happen in case you are being observed and all the time, you know, managed by a mentor. Organizations should, it is a recommendation that the organization should drive strong mentor relationships, you know, for, especially for the minority employees. You know, when you see that, you know, there is a minority group which you have included in the organization, definitely, you know, extend help and support mechanisms as a mentor. Because if you do that, it can also be looked at differently. So hence, you, if a mentor is associated with it and mentor gives the requisite, you know, support and build mechanisms around, it definitely improves the morale. In order to increase diversity in the middle to senior management portfolios as well. Okay, so this is what brings in, you know, by the concept of mentoring relationships. Accommodation of special needs now. Now, many diverse employees may have special needs. You all know it. Some of the, you know, when it talks about the some of the infrastructure, when we talk about people who walk with crutches, they would need, you know, specially designed washrooms and all of those things. Okay, so those needs to be accommodated. The traditional male workforce might not have had, as a result, the managers may not be aware of such needs. Because as we mentioned, as I mentioned in the earlier slides as well, that it has been typically made by the male stereotypes at that point in time. Traditionally, it has been built. So after you have gone into the diverse hiring and all of that, your workplace did not require those infrastructure maybe at that point in time. But now it requires because of having. So you need to take care and accommodate the special needs of these people who have come in. So the various special needs that can be scanned, you know, are as follows. You know, if numerous women entering the organization at the lower level are new mothers, say, let's say, you know, a lot of youngsters who have joined and then they are new mothers, a lot of new mothers who have joined the organization and they are amongst the new joiners, the organization can reevaluate their job plans and develop opportunities for childcare. Okay, say for example, you want them to be back at work and without having any, you know, they're half their mind at home and half their mind and doing multitasking and ultimately not doing their role well, at the same time not doing justice to the child as well. So organizations are rethinking and putting the childcare facilities at the workplace itself. So whenever there is a break or anything, these new mothers can go and nurse their child or if required to go and just have a look at it. I myself have been part of such an organization when my child was away. I'm talking about in the year 2000, you know, 3-4, where this concept was not so predominantly realized by organizations, and I was a part of such an organization where this particular facility was put together, where the maids and the nannies were available, which were paid by the organization. organization. It was a different setup altogether, a little, but within the same complex. So there is, you know, there is a system of, you have to obviously bring the whole, the needs and all those things which are there, clothes, your meals and all of those things of the child, and provide it to the creche, and they will take care of it. So for example, the if there's a cereal which the child needs, if some milk is a need that the child has, so you need to provide them with them, and then the facilities over there, they take care of the child, they help them learn a few things, they help them, you know, do story telling sessions, help them play building blocks and all of that during the day, and in between when you get some time, you can go and visit the child and come back and, you know, be happy with your work, and you feel confident about it that, you know, while I'm working, my child is also being taken care of. So this I'm talking about, you know, almost 16, 17 years ago story. So now it's become even more popular now. Now lots of organizations are, contributing towards this. When they have lots and lots of new mothers coming into work, they will have, start incorporating the, childcare facilities. If a large workforce in non-English speaking, then training materials and organization information may be also provided in other language. So that the people can be given the English language classes. So there are two ways of looking at it. Either you completely, you have one policies and practices which are in English, and you also have it in vernacular or maybe in Hindi, which most of the other employees are able to read. And then, to foster their communication, to improve their communication, you also run some English language classes. This is also done by a lot of organizations. Few of the companies like, Harappa Education is doing a lot of work around this, I have seen. And especially in the manufacturing sector, where you have a lot of blue collar employees, they are being taught in English. I myself have used their services in a couple of organizations, and they're doing a lot of work there. So these are some of the experts that you build around. You sign up with them and you help them do this. So, you know, regular practice of learning English, maybe once a week or maybe once in 2 weeks or, you know, maybe thrice a week or whatever, whatever maybe the scale is, you will just help them learn English to be able to make them more inclusive and make them, mold them as per the need of the organization. To deal with working parents issues, again, organizations are introducing practices like maternity, paternity leaves, flexi hours, some telecommuting work from home or work from home. This is not only pandemic times, even from earlier, facilities given like flexi timings. And if you have the child so small and you do not have anybody to look after, you've been given with the facility of working from home. So all of these are being taken care of, considering that new parents are there. So attracting and retaining elderly or disabled workers may include long-term care insurance and special needs health, life insurance benefits, etc. So when you have these kind of elderly people coming in, some differently abled workers are also being hired, you need to provide them with some healthcare facilities. So the various providing diversity skills training. So this is very, very important. Now, how do we do this regularly? How do we create such initiatives and programs that it manages the diversity from the grassroots level and or probably starts at top and reaches to the grassroots level? So the various benefits of diversity training is enabling managers to become more effective in managing issues pertaining to diversity in their scope of work. So within their scope of work, so when you train the managers on diversity, because they may not be aware, they might just think that, having right genders, ratio of good genders in place, having differently abled people together, all these things could be part of diversity. But however, if you enable the managers to become more effective in managing the issues which are pertaining to diversity, within their scope of work, not really stretching extra, but within their requisite scope of work, if you're able to train them, definitely is looked at it as a benefit. Diverse employees feel better motivated and committed to the organization. So when you have diverse employees, they are more motivated. They do not look at themselves saying that we are different from each other. So our differences are being incorporated, and the organization enjoys the different and uniqueness about you, and they become more committed to the organization. It increases the sensitivity and overall tolerance amongst majority of the employees, and by creating the positive open culture, so it becomes more open. So if you see some brands, you will see cross genders are a big way of inclusiveness. They go really out and out hiring those people, and they feel that they do really well in that space. Especially if you can see some organizations like MAC Cosmetics and all of that, you will see a lot of cross genders working there, and they do, and they feel that the brand themselves, I have done some work for them, and I know that they have, and they speak out and out saying that globally they feel that in the industry that they are in, this particular gender does a very good job around that, and there is no limitation that we should not. So hence you will see that a lot of them would be equally at they will be at par with the other women in the store, and they will be dressed up, and they would be making up themselves the way any other female looks like, and that has been enjoyed by the brand, and that's what is unique about the brand, and that's what globally people feel, that a lot of the customer surveys have been done, and then they said that they do a great job around that, because there are certain skills that are cut out for some people, so they really do extraordinarily well. They say that they bring that edge to the brand. Okay, so overall increasing sensitivity and tolerance amongst the majority of the employees, and creating an open culture about it, that this is what we incorporate, this is what we encourage, this is what is our culture, this is what we feel about this. Okay, the overall environment of the organization improves, productivity of people goes up, and hence obviously productivity, when it goes up, the overall environment of the organization is in a better space, definitely profitability improves. Initiatives and programs, a few more programs which we can talk about are providing diversity skills training, which are of different types. And what are these trainings? So one is your awareness-based diversity training, which is completely at the awareness level, which is at the superficial level at all, completely. This is the most popular diversity training. So this is basically to sensitize and make people aware of the whole concept of diversity. Okay, it's not doing too much of journeys and too much of deep diving and all of that. So it involves making employees just being aware of the stereotypes that they should be cognizant of. Increase their sensitivity and openness to those different from them. Okay, so whatever is different from them, they need to be open about it. They need to be aware of it, and they should encourage to be able to adapt those. So this is what happens typically in an awareness-based diversity training. Second is your skill-based diversity training. So this is the next level. Okay, this is the awareness is at the bottom level. And second is your little above level, which is your next level, skill-based diversity training. So this is this goes above the conscious raising. Okay, and it provides people with skills and abilities that would aid them to work efficiently and effectively in a diverse workplace. When you know that you have diversity within your workplace, it will aid you to be able to develop those skills and abilities that are required to be able to work effectively amongst those group of teams. Okay, amongst those group of diverse workforce. So this is what is here. So it develops your skill and knowledge level, which you can actually utilize to be able to work effectively in a scenario like that. Then there are different types of diversity trainings, which also include developing diversity interaction skills. Now, how do we interact with diverse population, diverse workforce? What should be your knowledge and skills required for communicating with them? Reinforcing existing skills, how do we reinforce what we already know? And inventory skill building methodologies. Okay, so so this is skill building, so which is more of, you know, experiential learning, and you know, the inventory that you should have. So completely you follow the inventory of the skills that are required for to be able to effectively work with diverse teams. Then is your integrated diversity training. Okay, so what do you mean by that? So many organizations, many times they include the learning objectives of the diversity into existing trainings, by the way. So this I have seen it for many of my clients, they do it. So in the beginning itself, they just set the context with the diversity concept. Okay, so such as for example, they're conducting a program on team building, they're conducting a program on leadership training. So they will just set the context with the diversity start of the session. So this involves coordination with necessary parties to ensure that the diversity context is integrated into the other programs. They will also, if the programs have been delivered by consultants externally, they will partner with them and they will say that this is what we want to set the context with. So make sure that you incorporate these in the program. So this could be a cost-saving way of conducting diversity trainings as well. So to making, already you have an existing, you just probably extend another half an hour to 1 hour or maybe 45 minutes session on diversity, which you include in your curriculum. Yeah, so this is one way of being prudent in delivering diversity training. Online training tool, which helps managers tap into the various diversity scenarios that might, you know, occur in the workplace, that they keep coming every day in and day out, and they see how they can manage them in an appropriate way. So there are some online tools which have been, given to the managers to be able to equip themselves to be able to handle those situations which requires, various diversity concerns. In addition to online training, companies may also use classroom sessions like experiential exercises, some videotapes, some outside consulting firms that help the organizations with diversity management issues. So these are some of the additional, these could be just on a virtual mode that the managers can be equipped with to be able to train and develop them on diversity. Now, diversity initiatives, programs and best practices. When it comes to multicultural teams, how do we do that? So organizations are aware that the diverse teams have higher problem solving and decision making. This is something that we have done in the beginning of the chapter, that when there is diverse perspectives, there are different people, different origins coming together, bringing in their own concepts, they're bringing in their own best practices from their relevant regions. Hence, the problem solving becomes much more diverse and becomes much more effective. So they have greater difficulty in learning to communicate and working smoothly, but if managed along with one or more of other initiatives like diversity awareness training, their effectiveness can be enhanced and might operate at higher productivity than homogeneous teams. Okay, so that's what it says. So for example, if they have greater difficulty in learning to communicate, say for example, they've never worked with a diverse background, diverse workforce. So suddenly they have to work with, and if they're finding it difficulty in communicating the way they are expected to on a remote workforce, which is of diverse background, if you actually teach them or train them on it, it might become much more better. So their awareness level, they probably are not even aware because they've never experienced it. So that experiential learning facility can actually, improve their awareness level and probably might operate at higher levels of productivity than any homogeneous teams. Okay, because of the heterogeneity that exists due to the locations, due to the demographies, due to the different races, due to the different cultures. It could be for any of these reasons that they are, by hookup. So probably a great amount of peer learning which happens, because of which, they might just get, they might just bring in much more higher productivity. What are the benefits of workplace diversity? These are the benefits of workplace diversity. First thing that we learned was better decision making because of the heterogeneity homogeneity, we are not saying homogeneity brings in better decision. We're saying heterogeneity brings in better decision making. Because of the diverse background, diverse perspectives, the decision making is much more stronger. Okay, then you have increased, obviously, when everything is happening, you have increased profits, you have higher employee engagement, reduced employee turnover. So when you have reduced employee turnover, improved hiring result and better company reputation, all of this will actually bring in your better profits. Faster problem solving, higher innovation, because again, higher innovation and problem solving both becomes very, very, strong because of the fact that there is a diversity in terms of thought process in the brainstorming. They also have, because something has happened in that particular country, that particular region. So they bring in their best practices and say that, hey, this worked really well in our location. What stops you from adopting the same practices? So there could be higher level of innovation which happens there, thinking that, we can pick up some best practices and we can quickly do some breakthrough. Variety of different perspectives and increased creativity. Because of all of this, ultimately, it will lead into better decision making and increased profits. I hope everybody is clear with the benefits of workplace diversity. Thank you.